Turn your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. In Romans chapter 16, and we want to welcome those that have joined us via the internet, whether it be on Facebook Live or on our website. If the Facebook Live broadcast happens to go out, you can always go to our website. It's understandingyourbible.com, all one word, all typed together, and you can click on the live broadcast page there as well. And we love to hear from folks. If you're tuning in and watching the programs, we'd like to hear from you. So if you ever have questions or comments, just let us know. All right, Romans chapter 16. I just want to read a verse here, and we'll be coming back to this toward the end of the message. But I wanted to start out in Romans 16:24. Paul says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to Him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." I want us to pay particular attention there this morning to what Paul says there when he says, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That is how we are to preach Jesus Christ today. Now, if you listen to any religious broadcast on radio or TV, more than likely you're going to hear somebody that's going to claim that God has revealed something to them outside or apart from the Word of God. I hear it frequently on TV. I hear it on the radio. And people will talk about how that God spoke to them or told them something or instructed them. You know, when I hear that, I feel like I've been cheated because God's never spoke to me audibly. I've never heard that still small voice. Somebody said when you hear that still small voice, that's you. God speaks today by His Word. And Paul said that we preach Jesus Christ according to what? The revelation of the mystery. Now God has chosen to reveal Himself to mankind throughout the ages. And He's done it in different ways and through different individuals. In the Old Testament, obviously, God revealed Himself through the prophets. Peter said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There are all kind of instances in the Old Testament that we can go back and look at where God revealed Himself many times through angels, that appeared in the form of men, such as to Abraham, and other times God spoke directly to the individuals. But God revealed Himself. God told Noah to build an ark. Well, we get over to the New Testament, and we find that God revealed Himself through certain individuals. The first one I want us to notice is John the Baptist. Look, if you will, in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man, now notice, sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So through the message of John, John revealed that this man sent from God was the Lord Jesus Christ, and that also he himself, as the forerunner of Christ, was sent from God. Look in Matthew chapter 21. Now, for the religious sect of that day, there was debate about the authority of John and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 21, the point in all this is that no matter how God has chosen to reveal himself, man in general and in the majority have rejected it. So it's no big mystery today that people would reject the revelation of Jesus Christ given through the Apostle Paul. Sometimes we scratch our head and we shake our head and wonder, why is it people don't believe it? Well, people never have in the masses accepted what God has sent to them. They've rejected it. In Matthew chapter 21, notice there in verse 23, or verse 21, Matthew 21, 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believe, ye shall receive. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people, notice these are religious people, came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto him, I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? Don't you just love the way that the Lord just turns the tables on them? They ask him a question. He said, I tell you what, I'm going to ask you one question. If you can answer it, then I'll answer yours. Be nice to be that smart sometime, wouldn't it, when people ask you questions? The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. These religious leaders were afraid that if they denied the truth about who John was, the people were going to rise up against them. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. John was sent, the Bible says, was sent from God. The religious leaders of the day questioned Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ turns the table on them and said, well, what about John? Because you see, if they acknowledge that John was sent from God, then they would have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. Look, if you will, over in John chapter, back in John 1, where we were a moment ago, in John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. How did John know that? Because God told him. He said, John, when you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which shall baptize with the Holy Ghost. And that was Jesus Christ. Look over in Luke chapter 3. Luke 3. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of and of the region of Trachonitis and Lysanias, the tetrarch of... If I'd known all those words, you know, I just wouldn't have read this. It's bad enough. I was thinking just a moment ago as I was reading, I'm glad that I have read the Bible this many years, because my sight with these cataracts, I don't see a very good clear picture. If I'm reading the verse, I pretty well can know what I'm reading. But like I didn't even see the I in that first word up there, Iturea or whatever. Anyway, verse 2. Annas and Caiaphas being high priests, the word of God... Now, notice, this is the point. The word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, as in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. You see, John was not out there doing his own thing. John was not just preaching something that he read in the Old Testament. God used John. God had a ministry. It was prophesied. It was foretold. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 13, notice what is said about John over there. John had a course, if you will. You know, Paul said, I have finished my course. John, Jesus Christ, Peter, all of those men had a course. They had a ministry. In Acts chapter 13, verse 24, when John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. John the Baptist had a course. And you know what happened to John the Baptist. But John's course was to introduce Israel to their Messiah. He was to be a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And he proclaimed Jesus Christ. That was his ministry. His course came to an end with his death. Then there was Peter. Jesus Christ called out 12 men. Look back in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew 16. Interesting verse here. Sometimes we just kind of read over these things. But it's interesting what Jesus Christ says to Peter in Matthew 16. In Matthew 16 verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now notice Christ's response. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So God had revealed directly by revelation to Peter that Christ was the Messiah. That's what the verse says. My Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So Peter, he received the revelation from God that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Christ revealed to him, Peter, upon this confession that I am the Christ, I'll build this church. And even in his death, Christ, look in Luke 18, reveal things. We're talking about revelation, how God has revealed himself to mankind. In Luke chapter 18, verse 31, then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For ye shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. But look what happens over in Luke 24. In Luke 24, you see, Peter and the 12, when they started out their ministry, they had no idea that Christ was going to die. If we'd kept reading there in Matthew 16, we would see that when Jesus said he was going to be put to death, Peter said, far be it from thee. We're not going to allow this to happen. And you know what Christ said to this man whom he just said? I've always found this interesting. He just said to Peter, upon this confession, the church is going to be built. I believe he's talking about that church there at Jerusalem, the Jewish church. He also says to Peter, whosoever sins you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whosoever sins you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then he says, get thee behind me, Satan. The idea there is not that Peter was Satan, but the fact that Peter would deny what Christ was saying would be have its source in Satan, the one who always taught a lie. Luke 24, notice what happens here in verse 44. There was going to be the death of Christ, and they didn't understand that, but even after, and so after his death, he had to reveal through the scriptures that this kingdom and glory that was going to come was going to be delayed. So in Luke 24, he said unto them, verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And that's what took place on the day of Pentecost. And so the 12 carried out the ministry that had been revealed unto them, teaching them that to repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That statement made in Acts 3:19 will match what Christ says about the new covenant, or what the Bible says about the new covenant, a time when he will remember their sins no more. That's what they were preaching. That's what Peter, James, and John were preaching. So Israel is given another chance of salvation there in the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul is part of those that are resisting that message. And so in Acts chapter 7, we see Stephen preaching an indictment against the nation Israel, and again, they reject the message from God. And they stone Stephen to death, and while they do that, Saul is standing there holding the coats of those that are carrying out this execution. In Acts 9, we read that Saul was going down. Well, let's just turn over there. Acts chapter 9. In Acts 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if they found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In other words, Jesus Christ revealed himself to the Apostle Paul. Just like the revelation to John, the revelation that came through Jesus Christ to Peter and the 12, and now God Almighty and Jesus Christ himself is revealing himself to Paul. And verse 6 says, He trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now flip over, if you will, to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. In Acts 26, Paul giving his account of his salvation before Agrippa. I'm just going to cut in verse 15. I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. What's the purpose? To make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He said up there in verse 16, I'm going to make thee a minister and a witness of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Now, with that in mind, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I realize most of you are familiar with these passages, but I just want us to understand that Paul's revelation is the message that we have been commissioned to preach and teach. We're not to preach what John the Baptist preached, the baptism of repentance for remission of sins. We don't preach what Peter, James, and John preached in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. We preach what Paul preached. Why? Because Paul said, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, talking about the resurrection, verse 4 says, and that he was buried, he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Then I have to believe that last of all, he was seen of Paul. And he saw him in heaven. The Lord revealed himself unto Paul just as real as if he had revealed himself to Peter and James and John in person. And I know people debate whether Paul ever knew Christ in his earthly ministry and so forth. Very well, he might have. But Paul here is talking about the resurrection, and he said, last of all, he was seen of me, also as one born out of due time. Now, look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1. In Galatians 1, notice there in verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received of man, neither was I taught it, but how? But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. Verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Who was it given to? It was given to Paul. How? By revelation. He made known unto me the mystery, as in Romans 16, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. He says he gave himself a ransom for all what? To be testified. Well, who was that testifier? It was the Apostle Paul. He gave himself a ransom for all. That was some new information when Paul said in Acts 13 that by this man, all men are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. One other passage, Titus chapter 1. We looked at this verse last week, a couple weeks, in relation to eternal life. In Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect in the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. You would think, folks, when people read and see these verses, that they would see clearly that Paul's ministry was authenticated by the Lord Jesus Christ. He received what he received by revelation. Back there in 2 Timothy, he says that he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That you see, when he writes to the Ephesians, he said, you were sometimes aliens and enemies and so forth. You were strangers in the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. Now, God Almighty, through the Apostle Paul, God Almighty, through His Son, Jesus Christ's death on Calvary, opened the door of salvation to all men. But as I have said so many times, what Christ accomplished there at the cross would have been of no benefit to you and I without somebody preaching it, without somebody revealing it. And so God chose the Apostle Paul. And it's interesting that in your Bible, the books are laid out perfectly. You get in the book of Acts and you read about God's commission, the Great Commission being taken full or attempted to be fulfilled there in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And once again, Israel rejects that message. God Almighty saves Paul. And after Acts 15, now think about this, that man to whom the Lord said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And whosoever sends you loose shall be loosed. Whosoever sends you bound shall be bound. And yet after Acts chapter 15, you don't even see Peter mentioned again until his epistles show up after 13 epistles written by the Apostle Paul. Peter's name, as far as I know, is not even mentioned. Now think about it. God Almighty has always revealed Himself to men and through men, beginning with John the Baptist, and today has revealed the message of salvation for us in this dispensation through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. You see, through Paul's revelation, whereas with Israel, those that blessed Israel, those that came through Israel, whether it was you or Gentile, had an opportunity to be saved. Under Paul's message, we see that when Christ died, He gave Himself a ransom for all. We see that the law has been taken out of the way and nailed to the cross. Go back to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 10, the Apostle Paul says to us and to those at Colossians, ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Keep in mind that back in Colossians 1, Paul said that he fulfilled the Word of God. Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. How is that mystery made known? Through the Apostle Paul. Part of that information, Paul, or some of that information, Paul reveals as he continues to write the book of Colossians, this letter to Colossae. He says, you're complete in Christ. He says, you've been forgiven all trespasses. What a wonderful, wonderful statement that is. Why, Jesus Christ told the 12 there in Matthew chapter 6, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Paul said he's forgiven us all trespasses. They're all been taken out of the way. Our sins are forgiven. We're in Christ Jesus. Then he says in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, what was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. So we see that all men have their sins, opportunity to be saved, and all saved have all their sins are forgiven. You don't have to worry about them. You have to confess them. Your sins are forgiven. Forgiveness of sins, one of the greatest blessings. You see, so much of the religious world wants to put people under guilt. They want them to believe they got to walk the line. They got to, I'm like the old preacher said that his wife went to church one Sunday and or she was sick and didn't go to church, and the farmer went to church and she came home and his wife asked him, said, well, how was the service? Said, it was good. Said, well, how was the message? Said, it was good. Said, well, what did the preacher preach on? He said, well, he preached on sin. She said, well, what did he say about it? Said, well, he's against it. Well, I'm against it too. God's against it. I mean, it sent His Son to the cross. But listen, folks, pounding people over the head with their sin is not going to do any good. People need to understand that their sins are forgiven. Rejoice in Christ. We have forgiveness. And it's not by our pleading and begging or going and sitting in a booth somewhere or anguishing over it. People say, well, what should we do when we sin? Well, I don't know what you should do, but I tell you what I do. I just thank God that that sin's forgiven. And it doesn't make me want to sin more. It really makes me want to sin less. You see, I believe sin by its very nature brings conviction to us, and we realize that we're sinners. But when we can look into the Word of God, and just by faith say, thank you, Lord, that those sins are forgiven. I'm not worthy, but I'm righteous. I'm not worthy, but I'm accepted. I'm not worthy, but I'm forgiven. That's the message that we get. And he says, he's taken the handwriting of ordinances and nailed it to the cross. And when he did that, verse 15 said he spoiled principalities and powers. Satan doesn't have power over us. You know that old Flip Wilson routine, the devil made me do it? That's what everybody always wanted to claim. But you see, the devil doesn't have any power over us. Only that what we yield to him. Only what we yield to him. And then he says in verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. Through Paul's revelation, we realize we're not bound to days, sacraments, ordinances, laws. We've been made free from all of that. How? By the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. You don't find that truth by the revelation given to John. You don't find that truth by the revelation given to the 12. You find all these truths by the revelation given to our apostle, the Apostle Paul. Now in closing, go back to Romans chapter 16. You see, folks, we don't preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery just to be different, just to say we know something nobody else knows. That's not it at all. Paul said in verse 25, "Now to him that's power to establish you." You see, these are things that God uses to establish us in the faith, to make us strong, to build us up in the faith. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to what? My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest." You see, we preach Jesus Christ according to that information given to us through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. And in that, we can rejoice and proclaim this glorious gospel, how that Christ died for our sins. And he was buried and rose again the third day. And he was raised again for our justification. And it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to his mercy he saved us. By grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Paul says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Think about that. God's not angry with you today. When bad things happen in your life, it's not God getting back at you. It's because we live in a sin-cursed world. God's not angry at you. God's not mad at you. We're at peace. Peace with God. And because we're at peace with God, we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Folks, I would hate to have the perception that so many people have of God as some kind of dictator in the sky that's dishing out punishment to people on every turn and out to get you if you step out of line. And if you sin, then it's going to make you have a flat tire on the way to work or whatever it might be. It's just stuff that's ridiculous. But you know, I hear that kind of stuff preached all the time. People want to preach that to try to keep people in line. Well, you know what I found out a long time ago? That is a hopeless case. If people aren't willing to subject themselves to the authority of the Word of God, you're sure not going to make them change. And that's not our job. Our job is to present the glorious truth of the gospel of Christ and preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery given to and through the Apostle Paul, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of that mystery and understand that we are complete in Christ. We're saved by grace through faith in him, and because of that, we have peace with God. Now, that's some really good news. The good news of the gospel is that we have peace with God. If you don't have that peace this morning, then you are in danger of eternal damnation, of a devil's hell and a lake of fire. And it was mentioned in Sunday school, we don't probably take that nearly as seriously as we ought to. But we can rejoice and be glad that we don't have that sentence of death upon us, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you stand me for prayer?